My name is Peter. I'm one of the members here. We've been around for a long time, and I've got competition this morning. Do you know, everything's gone wrong this morning. Even the car, they decided to play up, and that's the way it is. I'd like us to think about our walk in faith. We're going to just continue with the series that's been started a while ago in the church. I think we're coming basically to the end of it, we're in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. So if you've got your Bibles, we'll read that and then see if that noise goes away. Let's just read this. I just want to pray right now. Father, I just ask you that you, in this short time together, you'll speak into our hearts with all the different things that are going on. Speak into us, Lord, that we might have that faith to really reach into your heart and receive from you what you've got for us. So open our hearts and our minds this morning. Help us not to be just focused on one way that we think. Help us to open up our hearts to hear what you are saying to us today, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's exciting to walk with Jesus, really. And this walk of faith is something that you can talk about for years and years and still keep on learning. But let's go into Bartimaeus, one of the most exciting little chaps. Well, I don't know if he's little, I'm prejudiced there, but he's there sitting begging. And it says this about him in verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, have I got that on? No. Okay, I'll keep on reading. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. He began to shout. Okay, hey, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, what a cry, what a cry. We're just getting this practicing, okay. And then Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the roads. Awesome. He was sat a few minutes ago on the ground begging for money, begging for help. And then when he finally gets in contact with Jesus, his whole life changes. So as we're thinking about this chap, we must understand that when Jesus said, your faith has healed you, we're talking about a walk of faith with him that is awesome. Faith is a deep conviction in God's faithfulness, which inevitably leads to action. It's not enough just saying, I believe. We must put into action what we believe. And the illustration that we have here with Bartimaeus is so clear. And as we just think of him, this faith is a deep conviction in God's faithfulness, which inevitably leads to action. And if you just think of it, James in chapter 2, verses 17 to 18 says this, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. It's easy to talk about Christian life. It's easy to talk about how much we believe in God, but we must put that into action. Faith by itself if not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. It's not enough to have a conviction of an intellectual belief. Oh, I understand this to be. This is what the Bible teaches. We must put into action what we are reading, what we are catching from God. And let's just think about Bartimaeus right now. I'm going to rush because I've just done a Liam. You see, Liam jumped ahead, didn't he? That's contagious, look. See, that's not good, mate, is it? So blind Bartimaeus, let's just think about him, okay? We're going to go through this verse by verse, so you can just follow me quickly. We don't have much time this morning, but I just want to just share with what's on my heart with you. Then they came to Jericho, that's talking about Jesus. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is his name is son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. And it's important to see the situation in its context. There's a large crowd, more than we are here this morning, I would have thought, of many pilgrims that were going to the Passover. Now, a Passover for the Jews was celebrated once a year to celebrate the release of the slaves of Israel in Egypt. They were released from captivity through the ministry of Moses. And they come in out and they celebrate every year what God has done for them. And it's so good to remember what God's done for you. Yeah, we've had that one this morning with Liam guiding us to think about what God has done for us as we cast our crowns before him, as he's what he's given to us, and we give it back to him. And this is what they were doing. They were going in, over there into praise into Jerusalem. And there would have been many priests and Levites who lived around the area of Jerusalem, and they would be going too with this crowd into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And there was an expectancy in that crowd. We can see that because they were expecting to meet up with Jesus. And we find that Jesus also was in with this crowd. And they were expecting to meet up with Jesus because Jesus at that time was famous. I mean, just a few days ago, before this little march into Jerusalem, he'd raised Lazarus from the dead. Now, if you talk about a miracle, that's supreme. You know, they'd heard about his teaching. Some people had actually been and witnessed some of these things. And they were marching and they were going with Jesus with expectancy. But then there's some little guy. Now, I was going to do this, but if I sit down, you won't see me in the back, will you? So, what can I do? Well, I'm going to sit down over here. I just want us to catch this. He's sitting down. Oh, I'm getting too old for this, really. You know, and he's there with his little coat, the cloak that he's got. He's got it in front of him, I would imagine, or sitting on it, hoping that people would just throw money at him or food. And in this little cloak that he had, there was a little pocket where he would put the money that he had into it to keep it safe. And if anybody gave him food, that was a bonus day. He'd put that in for tomorrow probably. And he was there just listening, just there hoping from the crowd. But something happens to him in that moment that he didn't expect. Now, I've got to get up on this one, right? Something happens. And we find that there's a desperation in his being. Because the crowd is coming, there's a lot of noise, there's a lot of going on. And it says in Luke that he asked somebody in the crowd, we don't know who it is, he asked them, what's happening? Why all the noise? That's my words, that's my idea, okay? What's going on? And someone says to him, I don't know who he is, or she, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. Now this guy is something that, if we could catch this morning, we'll go away bouncing. I don't know whether we can call him bounce really, but we'll go away bouncing. Why? Because he starts to cry. Oh, I want to see Jesus. Oh, help me. No. I mustn't do this with a mic, okay? I don't want to wreck the mic. But he cries with a loud voice. And he's in desperation. And in Luke, the way that it described this, I'm watching the cable, Mike. I'm watching the cable. I will cry with a loud voice if I trip over. Yeah. He cries with a voice, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, have mercy on me. And what does the crowd do? Oh, mate, come on then. Let's go and take you to Jesus. No. No, they don't do that. This guy is desperate. He realizes that this is his moment of opportunity. He's got a chance to talk to Jesus. He's got a chance to be healed. And the more he cries out, the more the crowd tell him to be quiet. Now, the word it actually uses is, and it's, we don't normally use this word anyway, shut up. Now, so mum and dad sometimes get a bit fed up with their kids and say, shut up, but we won't go down there, all right? It's just not a nice way to say it, you know. But they say it in the version that we've got, be quiet. But it's really, shut up. And in Luke 18, verse 39, he keeps on crying, and he cries to such an extent that it's almost like the croak of a raven when a raven is croaking. That's the literal sound that he's coming out. That's what he's sounding like. And he's actually screaming to get help from Jesus. Now, you and I, very often, when we have a problem, we come to Jesus and we say, oh, Jesus, please help me. I need your help. And whatever you might do. And we leave it. But this guy was so desperate. He was in such a need of meeting up with Jesus, of receiving help. He began to shout and scream. So you can imagine what the disciples, the famous disciples, they obviously didn't want to help him. They didn't want Jesus to be bothered with him. So they come up, and whether it's them or someone in the crowd, and they just tell him, be quiet. Shut up. And that's one of the realities that we have to face as Christians in our daily walk, in a walk of faith. There are difficulties. There's hindrances. There are problems. There are situations which would suck us dry because it doesn't seem that we have any faith at all because of what's happening around us. And Bex came out with it this morning, didn't she? It's lovely. I feel that there are someone or some people here that are desperate. That's my words. I can't translate it exactly what she said. Don't go away just saying, oh, wasn't that interesting? Jesus really wants to minister to us this morning. But where's Jesus in all this? He's got these difficulties. People are saying, don't be quiet, shut up, mate. But his heart, he didn't want to miss that moment of opportunity. He didn't want to miss that moment when God would do something for him. And instead of listening to the crowd, instead of listening to perhaps the disciples or whoever they may have been, he keeps on crying. And what God wants us to do as his children is this, that when difficulties come, when problems arise, when we don't know what to do, we don't back off, we press into what God's got for us. Now, have you got that this morning? Please, Lord, I just ask you to open our spiritual eyes that we'll see that we must press in right now. When the going is difficult, you are there with us. Oh, that's amazing. That's an amen. That's great. Catch it. Wow, what a God. What's God after from you this morning? He's after your faith in him. So he's there and he's crying out. He's screaming. He's almost, we would say, I don't know whether we can say this one in church, but he's doing his nut. You know, he's so mad. I want help. I need Jesus. Yeah. And he's there. And there's a pushing him aside. And we find that in our own Christian lives. When we start beginning to walk with Jesus, we're young Christians. And we hear so many people saying to us, oh man, don't forget about that. Don't be too fanatical about Christianity. You know, take your time. Or you might be young. Hang on. Don't go too mad about this. Run with Jesus the hardest you can run. Go with him. Believe in him. Draw near to him. So this guy is there, and he's crying like crazy. And there's this big crowd around Jesus, and there's a lot of noise. And Jesus is walking there, and he's probably with his disciples around with him as well. And then we read, there's a divine encounter. You see, Jesus loves to respond to the cry of faith from our hearts. You might say, but I've asked you so often, Jesus. You might be disappointed that you think you thought that you have really, really believed in him, and you expected to see things happen, and they haven't. Come on, let's be honest about it. I remember the first time I came across that as a young Christian. I was in Bible college. I had a roommate. Oh, great guy. Great, great guy. And he was diagnosed with cancer. And in the college, we were praying like crazy for him. And we were believing God. I tell you, we were believing God. That's what you do, yeah. And he died. But that doesn't stop us keeping praying for others. God has something better for him. It broke my heart because he was going to be a missionary in South America. he had it planned out. I don't understand all of God's dealings. You don't either. But one thing we must do is keep on crying and believing that God can do things when we touch him. Oh, come on. So what happens? Jesus stopped. So can you believe this? Jesus it's a crucial time for him. He's on the way to Jerusalem, and he's not going to go to a banquet. He's going to go to the cross. He's on the way going to the cross, and he's got an agenda. He set his face towards Jerusalem, and he was going, and he knew where he was going, and he knew why he was going. And yet in the midst of all that crowd, he hears one voice of faith. Jesus, I can't shout, I mustn't, have mercy on me. And Jesus stops. A man's cry stopped the Son of God, the Creator of the universe. And he stops and he calls him. Call him. Bring him to me. Now the crowd had, you told it Bartimaeus, be quiet. But when Jesus says, call him, they run up to him. I mean, imagine they're running up to him. I think I would run up to him. And they said, cheer up, on your feet, matey. He's calling you. You call him, he calls you. Now, I'm going to do this. I'd love... Are you sleeping? No? Can I have your help? Please? I want to do a David and Goliath scene with this guy, but I'm not going to do that. Now, this is Bartimaeus, okay? I'd like to introduce you. Can you just sit on the floor, bro? Because these are things that we remember. You won't remember my speaking, but you'll remember this. No, I wouldn't cross your legs, because what I'm going to ask you to do is not easy. So what happens? No, you're tall enough. You're all right. Let's read this. Faith's decisiveness. Now when they told him, come on, get up, throwing his cloak aside, he stepped to his feet and came to Jesus. Can I borrow this just for a second, Ruth? Oh, I'm causing disaster. Let's imagine this is his cloak. No, I won't put it on the floor because I don't want to get dirty. So he catches his cloak. Can you catch hold of it, mate? Yeah. Throw it away then. That's right. Oh, God. Well, excellent. This isn't rehearsed. You can see that, can't you? okay, no, stay there, mate. I haven't got you yet. So he throws this aside. Now, you see, this cloak was so important, man. That's what he kept all his possessions. That's what kept him warm at night. That's what kept the money flowing in the front of him when the people threw it on him. He was willing to let go of his past, and he realized that when Jesus called him, man, now's his chance, so he throws it away. Doesn't need that anymore. And then he's sitting there, and it says he jumped to his feet. Go on, do it. Oh, gosh, he's an old man. No, I wouldn't give a clap for that. Can you do that again? Now, yeah, but you see, the word jump. Well, actually, the word in the Greek, excuse me saying that, but it literally says he sprang. He sprang up. Oh, I don't want to rupture you or anything like that. But he sprang up. Just, oh, yes, that's it. Do it again. Do it again. Let's have a replay.
Ready?
One, two.
This is the last time.
Okay. One, two, go! Oh, yes! Oh, you do deserve a clap for that, mate. You really, really do. Oh, you see, when Jesus calls, you can't say no. When Jesus is calling you, trust me, trust him. Don't sit down then and go, oh, I think I'll get up a bit now. Let's have a look and see what Jesus got for me. No, please. When he calls, run. When he calls, obey. And where does he go? Oops. And where does he go? I don't know if they sort of led him to Jesus. I don't know. But I do love it that Jesus stopped so that he could get to him. Now, as he gets to Jesus, you think all his problems are over. Everything is dandy. No. Faith declaration. He'd been screaming to get to Jesus, for Jesus to have mercy on him. And he comes up to Jesus, and he's just standing in front of him, I would imagine, so that's my imagination, okay? I was saying, couldn't say eyeball to eyeball, but the guy couldn't see, so I can't say that, right? And Jesus says to him this. He asks him a question. What do you want me to do for you? Oh, come on, get real. Get real. The guy's blind. He can't see a thing. He's helpless. And Jesus turns to him and says, well, what do you want me to do? Now, there's such an important Christian spiritual principle here. This guy Bartimaeus had been asking for mercy. So Jesus said, well, what kind of mercy do you want? And he could have thought, Bartimaeus at that time, well, that's a little bit insensitive, Jesus. A little bit insensitive there, you know. You could have said, well, I'm sorry to see you like you are, mate. What can I do for you? You know? What do you want? I'm just going to ask you this morning, because I really feel this of God. What do you need from Jesus? What do you need from Jesus right now? Because he's right here with us. You can say, well, I've come to you, Jesus, before, and nothing's happened, and I'm still struggling, Jesus. And just tell him what you need. You see, it wasn't that Jesus didn't know what he needed. Of course he did. But he wanted a confession from Bartimaeus that he needed sight. That he needed to be able to see. We so often go off in a tangent. Oh, God, I need this. Oh, help me here. Help me there. Whatever, Lord, please. But we're so vague. I know he's God, but I wonder if he scratches his head sometimes. Well, what do they really want? Be specific honest with God. You've got to know what you're asking for so that you know that it's been answered. He says, I want to see. And then Jesus comes out with this. Go, Jesus said. Your faith has healed you. Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus. I wonder if I could just do this. I've got 3 minutes left. But it's awesome. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. What? This man's got some superpower of faith within him so that he can do mighty things too? No. What is this healing faith? What is it? It's not one of several kinds of faith. There was a theology going around that you could have faith to see buildings come into being. You know, churches and all that. You can have faith, some people say. How can I put this? Faith to see God work in miraculous ways in whatever. You got faith for miracles. No, it doesn't work like that. Faith isn't one of several kinds of faith, but simply faith properly directed and practically taking advantage of Christ's power. That's what faith is. I'm going to say that again, okay? It's not one of several kinds of faith, but simply faith properly directed and practically taken advantage of Christ's power. It's not your power that heals. It's God's power. But there's that trust in God's power to heal. There is but one faith, a faculty of the soul. What is needed is not the faculty which already exists within us. There's faith. But the power and the proper direction and destination of that faith. I turn my eyes to Jesus. I open my heart to Jesus. Faith does not save through its own virtue of power, but by bringing the soul, by bringing us into contact with that virtue and power, who's Jesus. Faith is not the cause of my healing. Excuse me, I'm going to say that, or of my salvation. But the condition of it. Faith is what is like a switch that lets God's power flow through us and into us. It's an amazing truth. Faith is not the cause of salvation or a healing, but the condition. I need to have faith in Jesus. Our having faith towards Christ makes him become ours. It's our faith in Jesus that allows us to enter into the kingdom of God. It's our faith in the healing power of Jesus that sees us healed. It's our faith in Jesus that we receive help from him. Can we catch this morning? It's not your power that heals you. Oh, I know that, mate. I know that, mate. But we get into such a knot and a twist, because when things don't work out, we say, oh, well, God's failed us. Or, I don't have enough faith. That's not the issue. The issue is, I press into what God's got for me. And even though it might not be what I want it to be, I'm willing to have faith to keep on believing. Now, I'm going to blow your minds on this one from Scripture, and I'm going to finish with this because my time is gone. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, there's a chapter of faith. And you've got these men like Moses and Abraham and Rahab and, oh, well, sorry, she was a woman, and what have you. And a mighty people of faith. And you go through the chapter. And it says this. It's mind-boggling. They all died in faith without seeing the promises. That's my version of it. So where's the faith then? The faith is keep on believing that God can do it. Now, I'm not trying to simplify faith as you're this morning. But the only thing that will keep you going is keeping believing that God can do it. That God does things in His time, not my time. That God does it His way and not my way. Have you caught that this morning? Let's just press on into Jesus. I'm just going to ask us just to close our eyes right now. Some of you are looking very, very serious. Hey, man, if we have Jesus with us, we know that whatever that happens, He's with us always, okay? Father, right now, I just want to thank You this morning for allowing this example of Bartimaeus to be written in Your Word, in the Gospels. When Jesus was so busy, that He had time for this man. And Jesus, You have time for us because You've died for us. So we come to You this morning and You know what we need. You know what we need from You. And we look to You to supply it, to meet that need. Right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.